Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Beaker Bros. I'm Sonia, and today we're joined by a couple of special guests. If you guys want to introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Jack. I'm in my fourth year at McMaster University, and I'm in the JPPL program.
Hey guys, I'm Sammy. I'm also in my fourth year at McMaster and is also in the JPPL program. But yeah, shout out Sonia for inviting us on her amazing podcast.
You're really gassing up the podcast there. Okay. So today's episode, the reason why it's a little bit special, we're all in a class called Globalization and Peace. For our class now, we are doing a project on the Afghanistan water crisis. So for this podcast, we're going to be contextualizing the issue a little bit, and we're going to offer some insight about what we've learned about the crisis and our process about learning throughout the course. So to start off at the beginning a little bit, since I said the word water crisis, water insecurity, all that terminology, it's important to contextualize it a little bit and offer a definition. So to read off the definition that is provided by the United Nations, water scarcity or water insecurity can mean scarcity and availability due to a physical shortage. So like by means of like the actual water supply being reduced, or scarcity in access due to failure of institutions to ensure regular supply or due to a lack of adequate infrastructure. So all these terms together basically mean like that water scarcity can be promoted or encouraged due to things like climate change or things like actual organizations or institutions limiting access to water. And right now, both of those two actions or issues are the main reasons of why there's such prominent water insecurity going on in Afghanistan right now. So to talk about a little bit of that specifically, right now in Afghanistan, more than 70% of its population lacks access to clean and safe drinking water, and with availability of drinking water often being contaminated. And however, due to continuous demands to grow and grow crops and agriculture and the farming industry and stuff like that, this lack of access to water has really hindered economic development. And it's caused or has led to pretty bad food insecurity because obviously, right, like the crops aren't able to grow. They aren't able to receive enough water supply. So as of the statistic listed here is a couple months old, but as of right now, more than one third of the Afghan population suffers from acute food insecurity. And this has led rise to pretty prominent famine across the country. But it's important to also realize that the water crisis currently going on in Afghanistan, not just caught, like, of course, a lot of right now, the issue is really enhanced because of the actions of the Taliban, which Jack and Sammy will discuss a little as the next component of this conversation. But this is also an issue that has stemmed for decades. So there's a article highlighted here that shows that the water insecurity and water stress that's been experienced in the country has been going on since the 50s and 60s.
So going off what Sonia said, a lack of government infrastructure within Afghanistan is harming many individuals. So this lack of infrastructure denies individuals access to necessities such as clean drinking water. So the Taliban, they're a known terrorist group, which has taken over the country. They're cutting water access to civilians by taking control of dams and other important water supplies. In my opinion, this is wrong and unjust, as it leaves these individuals with no clean drinking water. And this has a serious impact on the farmers within the region, which Sonia just said. So this is kind of like an attack on the basic human rights of the Afghan people. And the Taliban are using water as a kind of weapon against them.
Thanks for sharing that, Jack. And just to add on to that, one thing that's pretty important to consider is like through restricting access to the water supply, a lot of like the Taliban has been using it for pretty like illegal actions. So one example that is pretty prominent right now, they've been diverting water supply from the agricultural industry to, you know, grow fruit, food and crops for the population, and have been using it to grow poppy, which is used to produce drugs like heroin, and it's being sold on the black market and through drug trafficking, and it's just promoting a lot of illegal activity.
Are these drugs being sold within the country as well?
Yeah, within the country and internationally. In fact, Afghanistan is, if I'm not mistaken, it is the largest producer of heroin in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You kind of say that they're using water and a weapon in that kind of way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not even like, it's not just harming the population by, like, you know, creating famine and water insecurity and, you know, and increasing mortality through that way, but it's also harming a lot of people and families internationally by promoting drug use.
So based off what Sonia just said, another method the Taliban have used that has affected their neighboring countries has actually got to do with the dams and the water flow. So people might not realize this, but the water crisis actually has been going on for years. The 40 years of war that was in the country completely weakened their water infrastructure, especially ever since the Soviet invasion, the country's infrastructure took such a big hit. Combining with all the bombings and all the fighting, it really destroyed the canals. And on top of that, the Taliban never tried to repair them, and they just won't do it. And what's even worse on top of that is their Afghanistan's partners, they don't support their projects either. So the dams that they really want to repair and bring back, they require a lot of funding, which they themselves don't really have that. And they don't really get that much support. And these dams are really important because they store the water for irrigation and they prevent flash floods, which actually has become very frequent in the country due to climate change and the way everything's changing. One of the neighboring countries that actually has faced a lot of difficulties is Iran. The Harirud and Helmand rivers, they actually flow from Afghanistan through Iran. And throughout the years, Iran actually always opposed the construction of the dams because they feared there'd be reduced water flows into their own country. And I can understand why. You know, every country is going to want the best for their people. But there have been claims that, in fact, the Iranian government supported Taliban's attacks against the dams, which really hurts considering it is a neighboring country and should be an ally. But those also are just claims. But I don't know. If from my personal opinion, I honestly do think it's true. I don't see why they wouldn't support the attacks, because realistically, it kind of does help them since they've always been opposed of those exact dams. And in January 2021 this year, the Taliban and Iranian government actually made arrangements ensuring that the Iranians will always have access to water from the shared rivers. And this was obviously done in case the Taliban were to gain control in those areas that the Iranians have a shared access of water to. And obviously they did control the areas. They definitely use that as another method to hold something over the Iranian government and probably use it as a way to get something for themselves. But actually around the same time in January, Iran actually made negotiations with the Afghan government to keep water flows from Afghanistan, leading to an arrangement on the basis of the earlier 1973, I'm pretty sure it's called Helmand Treaty. And then same this year, also in March, the Afghan president, Ghani, he declared that the country would not continue to provide water for free to Iran, but in order for them to actually provide the water in exchange, they want oil for the Helmand River flows. I don't know, I was kind of surprised when I found out that he did that. I just didn't really expect it, but I guess he's trying to do something as he obviously probably heard about Iran and the Taliban's negotiations and whatnot. On top of all the water insecurity, like with the neighboring countries and in Afghanistan, on top of that, I actually read an article that WHO released, the World Health Organization. They said that over 3 million kids are going to face acute malnutrition by the end of the year, with another million at risk of death by starvation. So on top of them being scarce of water, they also don't even really have food, which really makes it even worse. On top of that, it'd be nice to at least have one, but scarcity of both just completely makes just the life, your life of living just completely different. You don't really have access to food or anything.
Yeah, definitely. I think you summarized that really well. And especially adding to that, the idea of political tensions and a lot of international organizations and governments not really being able to, or not necessarily not being able to contribute, but not wanting to contribute or get involved with the crisis. That's a whole nother issue on itself. But yeah, I agree with what you said there.
Yeah, no, the politics have a lot to do with it as well. It's actually crazy. It's crazy. The country, there's just so much that go on behind the scenes in the political world that a country can't even really like release info on. We don't even really know half the stuff, to be honest. It's just, it's weird. If like one country won't make a certain move, because then for some reason it'll mess something up with like a couple other countries, and then just the whole tension of it. This is worth it for them.
One thing I want to ask you guys is, from learning all this stuff in the course that we've just talked about now, has it maybe like changed your perspective of the crisis of what's going on? Maybe, or not even the crisis, just like your perspective of the country?
Oh, definitely. I didn't even really know that this was a problem before we decided to choose this as our project. I honestly, the news, we don't cover much of what happens in Afghanistan. I'm not sure.
Or like, not even like adding to that, that's so true. Like the way that the crisis is framed often in the media, like from the US, for example, when they went into Afghanistan like 10, 15 years ago, it was framed as like them being the saviors and like doing all this stuff for the country. But despite all of that, there's still a lot of damage and trauma that the people are experiencing, not just from what happened in the past, but currently because of the Taliban.
Yeah. I always knew about it because, like, it is my home country, so I knew about everything from my parents and whatnot. But, yeah, no, the America thing is such a big political thing as well. They always made it seem like they were doing the right thing and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, they were really after, like, minerals and everything the country really had to offer.
Yeah,
they took so much, like, lithium and a lot of other, like, really, really minerals that could actually make you really rich. That's like the actual country itself, actually it's valued, it was always valued high because of all the minerals and everything. But yeah, it's just, I don't even know.
Yeah, it always stems back to like profit over people. So once you're not able to like gain value from the country and it starts costing you money, that's when people are like, okay, we got it back out.
Yeah, exactly. It just became too much for them.
Even when Biden took all the American, like the military out of Afghanistan, they made it seem like such a good thing too. Like,
yeah,
they made it seem like such a good big thing, like on their part, as if like that wasn't expected for them to leave eventually.
Like we're saving our soldiers, we're doing all that stuff, but in reality, it's just like, look at the state of the country now.
Yeah. And America's so big in like the political world. They play such a big part with all these countries. It's really hard for like, the only countries that really stand up against America is probably just like China and
maybe Russia.
But that's really it. No other really countries can really step up to America.
Yeah. And I think one thing that we've learned from this podcast and this, you know, whole conversation that we've had over the past few months about the water crisis, it's that Afghanistan's future, because of everything that's going on right now, is pretty uncertain.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. The future, it's kind of like too much damage has been done to the country for it to be able to come back. And like, nobody really cares. It's just a fact. It's a reality. No one really cares. Like, I just knew no one really cared. You guys remember when all the Palestine everything was going on like on social media and everyone started doing walks and everything for it, and like
it was
huge. Like I saw so many people post about that, people that were like not even like people from like who nationalities could be from Canada or like or from Europe, for example. But then when it started trending for Free Afghanistan, like I'd barely seen that many people post that. I would honestly say I'd say like 30% compared to the Palestine.
And going off what you said, those movements, in my opinion, they only last about like a week or two max, say.
Yeah, no, those stuff barely last.
Like people will start to care for like a brief moment.
Yeah.
And then they'll forget about it like a week or two later when they've got more important things to do.
But yeah, I think based on everything that we just said here, guys, that's like the perfect example of why it's so important to continue the conversation, right? So through platforms like this podcast or other forms of media, like, we have to keep the conversation going in order to continue to shed light on this crisis.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Hopefully this is able to, you know, positively affect our classmates and maybe even like other people from different schools and whatnot. Just, the one thing we can do is just help spread information and help just make people aware. At least we're doing something, doing our part. No, yeah. It might not be much, but it is something.
Definitely. Well, on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining me on this week's podcast.
Yeah, and thanks for having us.
No worries. Take care, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye. See ya.